Hello and welcome to Talk Talk. My name is Oliver Kim, and in this episode, I would like to explain to you consequentialist moral reasoning. The area of knowledge is ethics, and I will also be talking about in later episodes about other ways of moral reasoning, but we're going to take it a step at a time. So, first of all, when I say consequentialist moral reasoning, there is already in here a way of knowing hidden already in that statement. The way of knowing reason. So what we're going to be doing here right now, we're combining the area of knowledge ethics with the way of knowing reason. When I talk about ethics, or when I say the word, we're going to be talking about ethics, many students say, well, ethics has a lot to do with emotions, and different people have different ethical standards, and it's difficult to say what is right and what is wrong in ethics. Well, that is a little bit simplifying it too much, because in the course of at least of Western philosophy, it was like this, that people have always tried to come up with rational arguments for ethical judgments. Okay, let's not rely on emotions too much, but on reason, because I would like to rationally know what is the right thing to do. And one of these approaches is consequentialist moral reasoning. And how does this work? Well, if you want to know if a certain act is good or bad, because you want to do the right thing, so, and you want to know what should I do now, what you have to do is you have to look at the outcome of the act. So I want to give you a very simple example. Should you give money to a poor person? You're walking on the road, you see a poor person, you're giving money to this person. That's the question, should I be doing that? And essentially, a person who is a consequentialist would say, yeah, of course you should, because then you're helping the person and the world is a better one afterwards. Okay, and you yourself might also feel happy, so it's also good for you. So two people benefit. Yeah, so the consequences, the outcome is good. Therefore, donating money to poor people is a good act. Okay, that's a simple and straightforward. And many of the people that I talk to and when I explain it to them, they're going to say, yeah, of course. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, that's the whole point, right? It's so obvious. But what else could there be? Of course, we want to make the world a better place. So in a very brief, summary, one could say the greatest good for the greatest number of people. That is consequentialist moral reasoning. Or let's talk a little bit about a different one over here, a more controversial one, one where you're going to see now that maybe it's not always going to work out like that. Let's talk about Nero. Nero was a long time ago. He was the ruler of Rome. And what he did is he had this big amphitheater. And over there, he also had a lot of animals there. The lions were basically in a big show. The lions were allowed to eat the humans in the arena. And why did he do that? Because he said, we're going to give the people the game, the show, and therefore we're going to prevent a revolution. We're going to keep them quiet and calm, and therefore we're going to prevent further harm. Okay, so we're going to sacrifice a few people for political stability or for something like that. Okay, and this political stability means that there are going to be less wars, there are going to be less civil wars, less unrest. Yeah, actually, we have to sacrifice a few people in order to save more people. That could have been his reasoning behind it. Okay, and you're going to say, well, it's not okay, right? Yeah, but many of you just said is that, well, actually, it's the greatest good for the greatest number. Okay, so more people benefit. Otherwise, we're probably going to have, I don't know, civil unrest, and then more people are going to die, and so we have to prevent that. Okay, having said that, we've already recognized probably a weakness of this argument. And one important weakness of consequentialist moral reasoning is, we don't always know the consequences. Okay, we don't always know the outcome. We cannot look into the future all the time. And so that is essentially one of the big problems. And the second big problem in consequentialist moral reasoning is sometimes it is very difficult to measure the outcome. I mean, is two people being a little bit unhappy, is this the same thing as one person being very unhappy? So how do you want to do the math here? Yeah, it's sometimes very difficult to know the outcome, and sometimes it is also very difficult to actually measure the outcome. And so, and for this reason, or not only, but also for this reason, there are also other ways of moral reasoning that I'm going to be talking about. And last but not least, I'd like to read to you a little excerpt from this Newsweek magazine. It's from June 12th, 2006. So I extra kept it for such a long time because there's an interesting article in here about universities over here and some scandals involving universities. And when I read this article, I realized, wow, that's an interesting one. It's talking about certain problems of certain universities. And I'm just going to read this here to you. A quote, "And forget the days when a piece of brilliant research might have made headlines. Often as not, news now means the latest scandal involving professors selling grades for sex." End quote. Okay, so when I read that, let's analyze this. That's my real life situation right now. Let's analyze this concerning consequentialist moral reasoning. Okay, so you've got a university professor over here, and he's got a university course, and if you want to get a good grade, you have to spend a night with a professor. Now, when I read out this this quote to my students some time ago, one of the boys raised his hands and he said, "That's pretty unfair. It's unfair against the male students. Why do the women get this unfair advantage?" So it was an interesting view that I did not see like that. But this was the comment of one of my students. It's unfair against men. It's unfair against the male students. But let's analyze this from an ethical viewpoint. So basically what you have over here is you've got two adults, a university professor and a female student, agreeing to, and she's basically selling herself, so to say, to the professor. Okay. Ultimately, two people are going to be happy. The professor gets what he wants. He gets the night with a woman, and the woman gets what she wants. She gets the better grade. So in other words, we have more happiness afterwards than before. So according to consequentialist moral reasoning, I claim now, where's the problem? That's morally perfectly okay. Now, some of you are going to say, no, that's not right, because the other students are going to know, and they're going to feel unhappy about it, and therefore this unhappiness outweighs everything, and therefore it's not a good thing because the other people are going to be unhappy. Well, my counter-argument now would be, well, okay, then let's just keep it a secret. Okay, are you then happy? And you're still gonna say, some of you are still gonna say that's not okay. Okay, it's unfair, some of you are gonna say, and that's not okay. Well, this fairness issue, this was never really an argument now in consequentialist moral reasoning. Why are you talking about fairness? The idea is to have the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. Or we can expand the example a little bit. We can also say, well, actually it is causing bigger unhappiness because let's say that this is an important medical examination, then and if the people don't study for it, then the patients in the future are going to have a disadvantage, okay? And therefore it's a problem. Okay, well, if this is the case, let's just say that this is a really unimportant side subject, okay? One that you don't need. It's one of those subjects that you have to take at university just to get your credit points. Is it then okay? Morally okay? And then still some people are going to say, no, that's not okay. Okay, it's still not okay. Yeah? And if you're concerned about the fairness issue, well, okay, what about the following? The professor can also make an offer to the male students by telling them, okay, I'll give you a better grade if you wash my car. Or if you do, I don't know, if you cut the grass off the lawn in my house, okay, or do other work for the professor. Then it's fair, right? Everyone has now the choice. Still, some people are going to say, no, that is still immoral, that's still unethical, because you simply cannot sell grades for sex. And other people are going to say, now, okay, that's not the point of an education system. If you are going to do that, that you're going to sell grades either for money or for washing a car, it doesn't matter what, you cannot do that, because this kind of deceives the purpose of an education system. Well, then I agree with you. But that was not the whole point of a consequentialist moral reasoning. That's another ethical form of reasoning, okay? So if you just look at the outcome, okay, we might agree that the outcome might make more people happy at the end, but we still might consider it immoral and unethical. And that's an interesting discrepancy here. And the very last, it just has to be mentioned. I know it's a little bit of an overused example, but no discussion about consequentialist moral reasoning would be complete without this example. So I also have to mention that. It's the classic trolley car mind game, so to say. And it works like this. Imagine that you are in a trolley car and you're running down a hill. It's like on the track, like a train gone wild. And then you see on the track there are five people working. You're going to crash into them, you're going to kill them. And there's also a side track, and there's only one person working there. And if you have a steering wheel, and if you are able to control the trolley car, are you going to crash into this one person to save the five people? Okay, and most people are going to say yes, they're going to do that, because you want to minimize the number of deaths. And it's you might think it's a very, how shall I say, crazy mind game or mind experiment, but actually cases like this have happened. I mean, there have been airplane pilots who deliberately crashed their plane into a non-populated area, a plane who had a damage, okay, some kind of a structural damage, a broken engine or whatever, deliberately crashed the plane into a non-populated area to minimize the damage on ground. So this is not so totally off, yeah, this example. But this trolley car experiment kind of illustrates a little bit. Most people are going to turn the steering wheel to kill one person. It's a conscious act, of course, to do that, because ultimately they want to minimize the number of deaths. Or is it okay to kill a dictator who is waging a war? Okay, cases like this have happened in 1942. Stauffenberg, who planned an assassination attempt of Adolf Hitler. His assassination attempt failed. Okay, but also his reasoning was we have to stop the war because otherwise there are going to be too many people who are going to be dying. And so in all of these cases here, we're looking at the outcome we make our moral decision based on the outcome of our act. Okay, so this was actually quite a lot of examples that I've given you right now. What I'm going to do now is in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about a different way of moral reasoning, namely categorical moral reasoning. Okay, so, but for that, this was right now, that's what it was. I wish you a nice day. Bye-bye.